285. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Wednesday night, and I'm glad you're all here to worship the Lord with us, and welcome all those who are on Facebook land, and also out there in the parking lot listening to 88.1. So we're gonna start our service off tonight with a song number 285, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go.
Nancy, Brother Ken.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be with you tonight. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms 19. Psalms 19. As you're turning there, I do want to tell everyone welcome, whether it be Facebook, radio in the parking lot, radio at your house. Maybe you can pick us up down in the holler. And then for those of you that's in-house, thank you for making the sacrifice. I do want to say thank you to everyone that has prayed for us, made well wishes, texts, calls, offers to do this and that through everything that's going on with Mama. We did lay her physical body to rest yesterday at 2 o'clock. Wonderful, wonderful service. sweet, sweet spirit. Tell y'all a little something about Mama. Since I've known Mama, as you're turning to Psalms 19, I've known Mama for 21 years now. I've been in the family, and in those 21 years, she's had to live through five wrecks that I've been in. And almost every one of them involved me hitting my head on something, refraction of the windshield or other. But she, a few years ago, she pulled the children aside, and she said, I want y'all to be careful when your daddy's driving. He's had licks to the head, and you don't know how he might flip out one day. So she loved me, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for her. But tonight's, do we have any words of praise or testimony? We do have prayer lists, but we'll go into those. But do we have any prayer needs tonight? Or praise reports, excuse me. Pansy got a good progress report from her doctor. We are thankful for that. Anyone else tonight? Thankful Sister Priscilla is Mindy. She got a ways to go, but thankful for where she's come from in the past. I took his name out and just added hers. I didn't have to change nothing else, but I'll put him back on. Hold on just a second. I don't want to get him off here. That's what I told some of the folks yesterday. I said, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as part of our family, I said, I feel sorry for you because of the prayers this woman has prayed that's going to ring out through the rest of your life. Until you get right with the Lord, until you make it right. So our prayers go on after we do. Ain't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Anyone else? Praise report or prayer need? Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? Brother Otis? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was her second go around. Did I hear someone else? Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Well, there's a bug going around too. Brother Paul got the bug, and he's been down for a few days. But be praying for his son-in-law, Stephen, Bridget's husband. He come in, loss of taste, all that stuff. So they're quarantined on opposite ends of the house right now. But he's took his test. He's not got it back yet. But y'all know how to pray on that there. That anyone else tonight?
Yes,
mm-hmm. Goodness gracious. What's his name?
Lester Bowen.
Lester Bowen. Anyone else? Praise report, prayer need? We do want to remember those that are lost, number one. And we have our list up here, and we're going to put our prayer first tonight before we go into our Bible study. We will be in the book of Psalms 19. If you're on Facebook and you have a prayer need, just post it, write it, text it there, and God willing, by our next service, I'll have it on our prayer chart. But if you have had your prayers answered, please let us know, because not only does it make our print use less ink, but it's a praise to the Lord. We need to hear those. We need to hear that God has answered these prayers. And again, you've heard me say, I think the more we acknowledge what He's done, the more we'll see what He's doing, you know, and that's going to kindly tie in. Do y'all remember this sermon from months ago? It was when we were outside. It was, show me your glory. You remember when Moses asked the Lord, show me your face? And he said, no man can see my face. Well, that's kind of what tonight's going to tie into that. How do we see his glory on a daily basis? Our need to see his glory on a daily basis. Anyone else? Let's pray for the backslidden. Let's pray for marriages. We want to pray for those that are depressed. And right now, I just want to say to the caregivers during the time of COVID, caregiving's already a hard job. I mean, it is a difficult job. Many caregivers actually pass away before the ones that they're actually tending to. But what I saw in just the past week and a half is that, especially during this time, not having where you can go around others just easily, you get sucked into that other world. You know, we're in this world of COVID, but then you get sucked into that caretaking world, and you can just feel lost. And I want to challenge you, caretakers out there, if you feel lost, just cry out to Jesus. He's there. Give us a call. Give someone else a call that loves you. But make use of your friends and your family that God has put around you. Do continue to pray for Amy. Papaw, one of the two songs, Papaw's doing as good as can be expected. 69 years of marriage. Is that not awesome? That is amazing, isn't it? 69 years of marriage. But then some of you heard me say Amy has either pulled a muscle or something, and the doctors have put her on 3 days bed rest now. So will she do it? Probably not, but that's what the doctor said. But she's tough. She's a tough gal. Also, y'all remember Brother Russ Williams. Brother Russ is battling with migraines now. And they can't get his medications worked out. And so he's having to miss some work. And he asked just to be praying for him. Ethan Bowen, Thomas Graham, Paul Stoyer, Stanley Bowen, Susie Hill, Dustin and Cynthia and Baby, Carol Carter, Emily Ward, Alicia Hill, Wendy Fields, Vicki Littrell. Also, I heard that, Brother David Carter is still battling with what the COVID had did with him. I heard Sister Nancy's doing very well, but Brother David, we still need to be praying for him. Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Sister Catherine, Sister Pansy, but we did had a good report today for that. To God be the glory. Bobby Lee Jesse, Henrietta Roach, Bradley Bowen, Robert Baker, Bill Eads, Kayla Steele, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Tommy and Alma Mullins. Amy saw him today. He was doing his rehab over here, so continue to pray for him. He's still got to have the surgery of the abdomen, but he's mending from the knee now. Haley Webb, Frank and Mary Garrett, Sean and Don Garinetti, Sister Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Barb Cope. This is my father-in-law's sister. She has cancer. She went in for treatment yesterday, and they wouldn't give her treatment, sent her straight to the hospital, and she's not come home yet. So just be praying for Barb. Darlene Porter, Courtney Hall, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Sister Jeanette, Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, David Starrs, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Jim Lamb, Betty Gilbreth, Wilma and Don Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Sheila Stanley, Jay and Ruby Keck, Cindy Osborne, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Lottie Johnson, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Miss Liza, Brother Chet and Sister Margaret, Miss Wilma Jean, Wilma Tomlinson, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBonc, John and Carmine Shoup, our first responders and those that are working with the COVID and all that. I am thankful that Tennessee, I hadn't heard about Virginia, but Tennessee backed off a level. They think they've got the rooms now that they can, if the sickness peaks, they're ready for it, you know. And then we need to pray for our nation. Man, we need to pray for our nation. It's all just drama, ain't it? I mean, really, more and more you see it, it's just a tactic to keep our eyes off what they're actually doing and how crooked they really are. I'll be honest, that's the way I'm seeing it now. Brother Otis? How's your new neighbor doing? The little baby?
Oh, doing good.
Good. Jeff and Jerry Flannery. Any other prayer needs tonight? Jimmy. Anyone else? We'll be praying for. Yes, ma'am. I'll do it. Amen. And there is no sin too great. There is no battle too hard that he can't win the victory. Amen. Anyone else tonight? All right, I'm going to invite you, if you would, to come to the altar tonight. And instead of me starting or finishing, I'm going to ask Brother John Franklin if he would to start us out in prayer. And then as many of you as feel led to pray, you pray. And then Brother Otis, if you would, close us out in a word of prayer tonight. Brother John, if you would, up here so they can hear you. Same with you, Brother Otis.
Go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we just humbly bow here before you this evening, for Lord, just in a humble time of prayer, Father, Lord, Lord, I just want to lift up to you all of the prayer requests that have been mentioned here this evening at this time, Father, Lord, you know each and every case, you know each and every heart. Every situation, Father, Lord, as it was said, Father, no sin is too great in our lives, Lord. Anything we have in our lives, Lord, we can always bring it to you. Lord, I want to give you just overall praise, Lord, for every single praise report that was mentioned here this evening. I want to give you all the glory for that. Lord, I lift up all of the lost and the backslidden in our church body and our families, all our family members and friends, Lord, anyone in our life. Lord, we lift those up to you, Father, Lord. Just help us to be the light or the salt, Father, Lord, in their lives, Father, Lord, to do what to do the work of the church for your kingdom and your for your glory, Father. At this time, I just ask them blessings, Father, here upon the remainder of our service here this evening. I just ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Brother John. Anyone else tonight feel led to pray? Brother Otis.
Father God, we just come tonight, again, reiterating what Brother John has spoken to, and our church family, the needs of our church family, and Lord, it's sad in some cases when you call someone to tell them you miss them in church, and they tell you a reason they're not coming or didn't come or whatever. We just called them in love, but sometimes we make excuses for things that we got to take care of or things we got to do. And Lord, we know you can take all of that away from us. We could lose it all. Tomorrow we could be broke. Or we could be halt and not be able to walk. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for our church family. We just pray you be with them in a close way. Lift them up with your power, with your Holy Spirit that you've left us. Jesus, thank you for it. And we just ask you to be with those that are hurting and have needs, even that we don't know about. But you know about them. We don't have to know. You know. We just ask you to deal with those in your way, in your time, and it might not be our way or our time. But you're God, and you know all things. You're all-powerful, and you're all-present everywhere. But, Lord, we just ask you to be with our service tonight, with our pastor, with his family, with Amy's papa and many others, Lord, that have lost loved ones, for the Bledsoe family, and many others, Lord, that have lost loved ones this week. And we looked at the paper this week several times for the obituary, and we saw two pages, once in the back side of another page. And you tell us in your word that's once appointed us to die, and after this, the judgment. And the Bible also speaks as a tree falls, so shall it lay. You don't get back up and come back to life. You did, but you're God. You're the Son of God. But Lord, we just pray it. Would you be with those that are backslidden, as Brother John and Pastor had requested, and Lord, many away from you. And we pray that they never be a reason to be away from church because of me or anyone else. Lord, you can forgive all sins and all things, but we have to ask and repent. We just thank you for that privilege that we can do that, and ask you to be with us, and thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for loving us enough to die for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Otis. All right, if you're just now getting with us tonight, it is good to be with you. And if you don't remember anything about tonight's service, remember these three things: that nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him tonight, he'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. I do pray that this is coherent. I pray that it makes sense to you. It's been kind of running a few days, but I think God will bless you with this as you're turning to Psalms chapter 19. If you remember, as you're turning to Psalms 19, a few months ago we did preach a sermon out of the book of Exodus around chapter 33, and it was when Moses was up on the mountain, and if you remember, he requested of God. It was around the same time that he was receiving the law, the tablets, and all that, and he requested God that he would see his face, or show me your glory. And God made the statement that I can't show you my face, because anyone that would see my face would die. And then you remember God said, but there's a place beside me, a place within the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to stick you there, and I'm going to walk by you, and you'll be able to see my backside. And remember, the idea of that sermon was, in the time that we live in, especially now, we need to catch a glimpse, at least a small portion, of the glory of Christ every day. And when we talk about glory, what are we talking about? We're talking about the splendor. We're talking about the wonder. We're talking about the power, the all-inspiring presence and person of God. And so, over the past few weeks, if you remember last week, I wanted to go back to what we were last week. Remember, it was the Egyptian Hallel, which was about the great praise. You remember about honor, and it begins in Psalms 113 and goes all the way to Psalms 118. And when they would have the Passover feast, or when they would have the Feast of the Tabernacles, or those different ones, that was basically the songbook that they would sing from on those days. And so I wanted to go with that, but as I was preparing for Mama's celebration and her homegoing, as I do with most if I do the funeral, I asked to hold the Bible of the individual, especially if I knew that they are saved. And I asked, there's something about holding a fellow Christian sword. You know, there's something, you get to look into it, and it's just special to them. And I was opening up her Bible, and she was a lot like me. She had scriptures wrote out, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. She had wrote them out in hand. And I do the same thing, because writing it, saying it, and hearing it, you're receiving it three ways. But my dyslexia kicked in. And it said Psalms 91. But for some reason, I ended up in Psalms 19. And when I got to reading Psalms 19, I thought this was really good. And so today I couldn't get away from it. So just remain seated. I'm going to read it out of the King James first, but then the rest of the night we're going to be looking at it from the Christian Standard. Notice in 19, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Now see, we need to see your glory. So as we completely look in this, the first line tells us where to find God's glory. Amen? I mean, we are told we need to see God's glory, so where do we look? The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language. There is no where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man in to run a race. Verse 6, his going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit unto the end of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in regarding of them, there is a great reward. Who can understand his arrows? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the time you've allowed me to be with my brothers and sisters. And Lord, even just being together, I'm thankful for the strength that you provide both physically and spiritually. And God, I'm thankful tonight that you are a God who forgives sins. And I plead the blood of Jesus, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And we need you, Holy Spirit, to take your word and to rightly divide it and to knit it into our hearts so that it will become part of us. But again, Lord, I confess your sins and I confess my need for you to guide us in our study tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Psalms 19 is written by King David. In this song, David presents God not only as creator or author of the worlds, but he also shows God as the creator and author of the Word. And so as we look at this, well, it begins out one way, but then it kind of feels like we're going into Proverbs, and then we start out with God's glory, and we end up wanting to be pure. Amen. Ain't that the way it needs to be? That we want to be holy. We want to be clean in the eyes of our Lord. But listen how it goes in Psalms 119 out of the Christian Standard. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. There is no speech. There is no other words. Their voice is not heard. Their message has gone. There is out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his home. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of heaven and circles to the other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The commands of the Lord are radiant, making the eyes brighten up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. Verse 10, they are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, sweeter than honey dripping from the comb. In addition, warn your servants by them. Keeping them therein is an abundant reward. Who perceives their unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. That, in King James, the presumptuous sins, that is the willful sin. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from my blatant rebellion. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, if you look at, you can basically break up this Psalms into three different portions. The first one would be Psalms 19, verses 1 through 6. And what we see is that in it, we see that creation declares our Creator. Creation declares the Creator. But then, as we move on, what we'll see in verses 7 through about verse 11, we'll see that, hold on just a second, I thought I had it. We'll see the value of God's Word. And then when we look in the last verses 12, 13, and 14, we'll see the effectiveness of God's Word. So we see the declaration of God in creation. We see the value of God's Word. And then we see the ability or the function of God's Word. So let's look there in verse 1. Most scholars believe, oh, hold on just a second, I'm on the wrong page. I done got them inverted. All right. When we look at this, immediately after we read that first part where it talks about the heavens declare the glory or the splendor, the awesomeness of God, immediately as I was studying this afternoon and I began to think about it, one verse of Scripture, it's a passage, it's not just one verse, came to me, and it's out of the book of Romans, chapter 1, over in verses 19 and 20. Listen to what it says. It says, "For what can be known about God is plain, because God has shown it to them. For the invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." So what's he saying? He's saying that the attributes and the eternal power of God are evident in the things that have been made. Meaning in all of creation, we can see the hand and the work of God. Basically, all Paul is doing in the New Testament is echoing what David has already declared right here in verses 19, chapter 19 and following. Now, when we're reading here, notice that it says that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord and the expanse proclaims the words of His hands. Now, the idea of declaring means to give an account, an accurate statement, but then here it also means that it repeats it. You know what I'm saying? It says that what it says is accurate, what it says is clear, but it does it again. Kind of like the sun, every time it rises, it runs the same path, doesn't it? It's telling the same story. And that story is that there is a great Creator in control in all of this. But as we consider nature, and we see that he's saying that the heavens declare, and the expanse, they inform as well. This is what theologians would call general revelation. How many of you ever heard of that term, general revelation? When you think about something in general, like ratings on movies, you know, R is restricted, meaning that certain ones, but general audience, who's that for? Everybody. That's exactly right. And you see, in nature, God has provided a revelation or a revealing of Himself for every human that will ever walk on this earth. Listen to what general revelation is. This is out of the Concise Theology book. Called this because everyone receives it, just by virtue of being alive in God's world. This has been so from the start of human history. God actively discloses the aspect of Himself to all human beings, so that in every case, failure to thank or to serve the Creator is a sin against Him and the knowledge of Him. And the denials of having received this knowledge should not be taken lightly. When someone says that they don't see God or they don't believe in God, they're denying the testimony of creation. They're denying the testimony of all that we see. It goes on to say, God's universal revelation of His power, praiseworthiness, and moral claim is the basis of Paul's indictment over where I just read over in Romans chapter 1 verses 18 through about 21, when he says, hey, the Godhead has been revealed. The nature and the power of God has been revealed. And so it goes on to say that the heavens declare His glory or God's splendor. Now, Many of you probably already know about this, but in Scripture, when we read about heaven, Scripture mentions three different types of heavens. The first heaven is simply the blue sky that we see when we look up. That is the first heaven. It's just there, you know, the atmosphere, the water makes it blue and all that stuff. But then on the other side of that, what do we have on that other side? We've got the solar system. We've got galaxies. We've got all these other things. We've got the expanse. You see, we don't even know how far all that goes, you know. And they say it's ever expanding is what the scientists say. You see, that's the second heaven. Can you imagine, though, when creation was, and now think about now, how much junk we have shot up into outer space. Do you realize how far our sin has actually gone in creation now? I mean, we're shipping it to Mars now. How far are we going to take our sin? But it says, we've got the blue sky, which is the first heaven. We've got the solar system, which is going to be the expanse. We're going to talk about that. But then the third heaven, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writes and says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into where? The third heaven. Whether in body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. Now, most scholars believe that Paul is referring to himself, but he didn't want to pat himself on the back, so he was kindly just using it in third person. And he says, Paul says, when he looked over into this realm, or when he was in this realm, that it was paradise. If you read there in verse chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, you'll see that Paul calls it paradise. And he said that he heard things there, not that he couldn't utter. In some versions, it seems like that the human tongue didn't have the ability to say it. But in this, it basically says that I can't be told. I don't need to say these things. Yes, I was, and we know the same thing happened to John the Revelator. He saw things, but the Lord told him, don't write those things, didn't he? So we see when David begins off and he writes, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the works of His hands. He's saying that the sky, the blue sky that we see with all the clouds and the moon and the sun and all that, when we look at that, we see the handiwork or the craftsmanship of God. When we look at these pictures or these satellites or these images of the beautiful colors and all the different things that's out there in the solar system, all of that echoes that there is a Creator. Notice as we go on a little bit further there in verse 2. Now, here in verse 2, we're going to go all the way through to verse 4a. In the middle of verse 4, you'll see that it kind of changes up. But the word expanse, again, it is an area of atmospheric space. It could be close to the ground, or it could be the furthest star in the solar system when he's talking about the expanse. But what he's talking about is all the sky that we know declares. Now, listen in verses 2 following. Day after day, they pour out speech. Who is the day, do you think, that David is referring to here? Go back to verse 1. What was he talking about in verse 1? The heavens and the expanse. They're the ones that declare or accurately state the power of our Creator. Day after day, they speak out. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful that the writer here uses the word communicates. Because notice, the word communicate means to explain, inform, or to make clear, to present the story. Now notice what he says in verse 3. There is no speech, there are no words, their voice is not heard. Now, are the stars literally using the English language tonight? Is the sun using Latin or German? No. Matter of fact, they're not using any language. There's no verbal skills. There's no written word. But what they are doing, just the fact that they are there, they are screaming out that there is a great Creator. And notice what he goes on to say, though there is no words there in verse 4. Their message has gone out to all the earth, though they may not be verbal. Still, it is so powerful of a message that all the earth has received it, and their words to the end of the earth. Now notice, God says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through David and through Paul and through other writers, He says that there is enough general revelation out there that if a man just simply looked out there, he should come to the conclusion that there is a greater creator than he is or she is. If nothing else, creation would tell us that. And everybody, God has given that gift to everybody. Amen? You see, it's not a literal verse, voice, not a sound nor a word, but the declaration is there no matter what. You see, those that look at nature, those that look at the heavens, those that look at the sky and say that there was a Big Bang, say that we were planted by aliens or something like that, what they're being is they are being willfully ignorant. They are choosing not to go with the most practical side. Now, most people use the, and you've heard me use it, the two basic or most simple ones is the painter or the watchmaker. A painter never has to sign his painting, and the watchmaker never has to etch his symbol into the clock to let you know that there is a watchmaker. Amen? Just the fact that you've got a watch on your wrist or you pull one out of your pocket testifies to the fact that there is a watchmaker. Amen? Same thing with a painting. You don't have to write Max Licato or whatever it is right there on the bottom. You may not know specifically who it was, but when you look at the picture, without words again, right? It declares a creator. And that's what we have here. God may not have signed it, which he has. Every bit of it is signed by his hand. Amen? But those people around us, and especially more and more, are getting to a point where they are willfully ignorant of creator. Amen? Choosing not to recognize God. But you know what? God's ready for them too. Amen? Listen to what Peter writes. The Apostle Peter writes over in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and following. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. That's why they willfully deny. That's why we willfully deny. Because if we choose to say there is not a God, then guess what? We choose to believe we don't have to answer to him either, right? He doesn't have any control. But listen, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Oh, I've heard about this rapture all my life. For they deliberate. Listen what Paul says. This is 1 Peter 3:5. For they deliberately overlook the fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. What does God say about those that are willfully ignorant? He says, expect it. They're going to be there. They're going to say, I've heard this all my life. And nothing's been real. But God says, hey, guess what? They're willfully choosing. Willfully choosing. You know this, even an atheist has faith. God's given to each man a measure of faith. An atheist chooses to have faith that there is no God. Every person has some type of faith. Every person has some type of faith. So we see that creation declares it. Now, see there it says, their words have gone forth. Almost you think there should be a new verse picking up there in the middle of verse 4 where it said, in the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun. Meaning that God, when he created the heavens and the earth, he made a specific place for the sun to be at, for the sun to hang. He goes on to say, it is like a bridegroom coming out of his house. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of heaven and circles to the other end. Nothing is hidden from his heat. Now, what are we seeing here? We're seeing that God is, again, talking about the declaration and how the heavens declared again. We're focusing on the sun. When God created the sun, he gave it a specific position. Now, back in these times, I think they were still believing that the sun rotated around the earth instead of vice versa. But still, we know that there's a path in the sky. And every day when that sun is in that path, notice, it says it's like a bridegroom comes out. How's a bridegroom come out of his house? He's excited to go and see the bride. How does the runner hit the course? Excited because there's potential for him to win. What about, the idea here is that the sun finds fulfillment in doing what it's called to do, and that is to declare the glory of the Lord, to declare the handiworks to be a testimony to God. And notice it says there's nothing hidden from its heat. We see that everything that on this earth that the sun covers, that's the same way it is with God. There is nothing hidden from God. So we see that creation declares the God of creation. And then we move in. See, this is kind of almost where it kind of seems to be more like a proverb. It kind of moves. And here in verses 7 through 11, we see the value of God's word. We see the ability of God's word. Notice, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The commands of the Lord are radiant, making the eyes brightful. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous." This portion of David, like I said, it seems more like a proverb. But what you see there in verses 7 through 9 is you're going to see three statements on what the Word of God accomplishes. What the Word of God, the traits of God's Word, you might say. Now notice, the first one is, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is the moral and legal instructions. You know how in the Old Testament they had moral law, they had national law, and then they had religious law, if you remember that. Now, we still live by the moral law. But look what he's saying. He says that it is perfect, meaning that it is complete. And it has the ability, not in and of itself, but it can bring a person to where their soul will be saved. How does it do that? Well, how many of you have ever told a lie? All right, when you look into the law of the Lord, it shows you your imperfections. And in that, it is able to bring us to the place of confession in Christ Jesus. So we see that it is able to convert the soul, or it is able to bring one from death into life. But then notice it says that the testimony of the Lord is trustworthy. Testimony, remember what that is? Testimony is the first-hand account or the first-hand witness. It is the stipulations and the concerns that God has laid out in His covenant. And you see, what is He saying? He says that they're trustworthy. Every word that God has spoken, we can hold fast to. It will never fade away. It will always stand true. Notice what it says. Not only is it trustworthy, but it makes the inexperienced wise, or it makes the fool to be wise. It makes the unlearned to be educated. And I'll say this again. There is no such thing as a full education without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You cannot have true knowledge, true understanding and wisdom without knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because He is wisdom. Amen? He is true. Notice it says not only are His testimonies trustworthy, but notice there in verse 8. His precepts, or as it says in the King James, the statutes of the Lord are right, meaning the regulations and the principles that He has laid out. You know, no, it is not a list of do's and don'ts. It is about a relationship. But what does He say right here? They're right. If we live by His principles, if we live by His precepts, then we're walking in a way that is right in the eyes of our God. And then he moves on, he says, the commands. These are a directive from, who do you get commands from? A commander, right? So this is a directive from a commander or an order from a higher authority. His commands, they're what? Notice what they says. They are radiant, meaning that they glow, they brighten the eyes. I thought, Lord, I need some of your commands today. I need my eyes to be brightened. I need them to quit swelling on me. And then it says, the fear of the Lord is pure. What is fear here? It is the recognition of the extreme awesomeness of our Creator. It's the respect aspect of it, you know. But then he says, the ordinance or the judgments of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous, meaning the arrangements and the rules, the way that God has set up things. You remember, there's no more need to talk it over with God, or to try to will and deal with God, because after Jesus, there is no more. After Jesus' death on the cross, that's the only way. There is no other wiggle room. It is by Him and by Him alone. And notice it says they are reliable and altogether righteous, or in His right ways. Now, as we're looking and we're seeing at the value of God's Word, look right here. It says in verses 10 through 11, it says they. What is they talking about? They is the law, the testimony, the precepts, and the ordinances of God. These are to be more desired than gold. We should want to have the Word of God, His precepts, His truth, to be evident in our life more than we would big diamonds in our ears or on our ring, gold around our neck, big bucks in the bank. All of that stuff should pale into comparison to the desire that we have for God's precepts, His teachings, and His truth. But notice that. He said, not only is it better than gold, yeah, pure gold, but he said this, it's better than honey, it's sweeter than honey dripping off a honeycomb. Have any of you ever just been able to go to a honeycomb and go, just like that on it? I never had, but I thought that would be awesome. Wouldn't that be awesome? But notice what he's saying. He says that the precepts, the truth of God, is sweeter. Oh, that's good, ain't it? Sweeter than the sweetest thing you can imagine. Hey, I tell you this week, that's being able to talk to Amy, being in the room with Mama and all those things. Yes, my heart is broken. We're weeping, but the other day we were talking, and I was talking to Papa. I said, Papa, she's looked at Jesus. She has seen Jesus. How can we not be envious of her? You know, so we see that they're to be valued and they're sweet. Notice in verse 11 it says, in addition, warn your servants by them. Keeping them therein is an abundant reward. Again, what is them? The ordinance, the precepts, the testimonies, the commands, all of those things. In them is a special reward. And I say that again. You know what? Even if a person, because when you think about a servant, you think about the doulos or the slave, and most of the time, that's not from your same nation. You know, usually they're from a Gentile nation. As we were a Jew, they'd be from a Gentile nation or whatever. But in here, the picture is even if they are a foreign servant, if you instruct them by God's Word and they live by God's Word, they may not know that God, but by living out His truth, living in His precepts, there is a reward in it. There is a blessing in that. Like I've said before, you know what? Praise God. You stay faithful to your wife and you'll have a relationship, or your husband, you'll have a relationship that most people don't have. Why? Because you followed the ordinances of God. I mean, you eat healthy and things like that, you'll probably live longer. Why? Because you followed the instructions or the teachings that are found in God's Word. Now notice it says this. Now remember, in the first portion of this study, we talked about general revelation. Remember that? Now, when we talk about the precepts and the teachings and all those things of God, what we begin to have there is we begin to see what is called more of a special or a specific type revelation. Okay? Remember, all of nature reveals. He's speaking every day. But then, if one ever gets into the Word, then there's special or specific revelation. God has now supplemented or build up general revelation with the further revelation of Himself as Savior of sinners through Jesus Christ. This revelation, given in history, embodied in Scripture, and opening the door of the salvation to the lost, is usually called special or specific revelation. It includes explicit verbal statements of all that general revelation tells us about God and teaches us to recognize that revelation in nature, in natural order, in the events of history, and in the makeup of human beings, so that we learn to see the world around us as theater for the glory of God. See that? You know what I'm saying? if we look at the world, the creation around us, as God's theater, then in it, what are we going to see? His glory. His glory. And then also know we're going to see it in His Word as well, right? Because we move from nature, then we move to His Word, and in His Word. But see, when you move into His Word, that's where you get that special revelation. You say, what does it tell us over in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17? Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we see this. There can be no salvation without the Word. Amen? You know what else? There cannot be any salvation without the drawing of God Himself. So you see, in special revelation, you have the truth of God, but you also have the Holy Spirit moving upon that truth, which is God calling, and therein is what we call God or Holy Ghost-inspired conviction. That's when salvation can be had. Salvation, you don't get saved anytime you want to get saved. You don't get saved when the flames feel like they're the hottest. You get saved when the time is right. When God is calling you, the Spirit is there. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know how long He'll call. Is it a season? Is it a day? Is it a... I don't know. But I know He won't call forever. Amen? So we see that we move, as we're thinking about the glory of God, we move and we can see the glory of God in nature, the heavens around us. We can see the glory of God in Scripture. Matter of fact, it's through Scripture that we get closer to God. And then at the end, the last three verses, we see what happens to the individual who sees God's glory, is willing to love His Word, value His Word. And now look what happens. How in the world did we end up with the glory of God? And now we end up with a prayer of confession almost. That's how this ends, almost with, I've seen Your glory, and the only thing I could do is confess to You that I'm not worthy. You see, the more we see of Jesus, the more glory that we reveal, the smaller we'll become, but the greater He'll become. Amen? Listen to what it says. Who perceives their unintentional sins? Who knows that they're sinning when they don't know they're sinning? I mean, basically, that's what it says here. You know, there's things that, and all of us do, every day we do things that we don't give second thought to, but it's actually a sin. If God tells you to pray for somebody and you don't, that's a sin. You know, think about it. You know, there's things, like we said, it's what we're not doing. It's, we're not making Jesus first. We're not making Him number one. But notice He says, cleanse me from my hidden faults. Those things that I'm even unaware of. You know, sometimes we like to, what is it? How do they do it, you know, when they touch up them pictures and they make them look soft and all that so you don't see all the lines and the wrinkles and the scabies and all that stuff? That's what we like to do to ourselves, don't we? You know, Ken told me I was going to have to get me a new phone if I'm going to do the studies off my phone. He says, because it's hazy. I said, son, that's a glory glow. Everybody else sees it but you. What's wrong with you? No, but that's the way we do our sins sometimes, isn't it? We like to fuzzy it up, you know, like a glamour shot. You know, we'll fuzzy it up and things look better then. But notice, David's got to a point that he's not playing any games. He's saying, I know I'm a sinner. He says, I know I sin and don't even realize it. He says, you know what? Lord, won't You deal with my hidden faults? Don't let them be hidden anymore. But then know what He says. He says, moreover, keep Your servant from willful sin. Remember, we've already talked about willful ignorance, right? And there's those that are around us that are lost and undone in their sin, and they're willingly ignorant of a Creator. But you know what? We know Jesus wants to be number one in our life. We know that God has called us and given us gifts and all those things. And when we say, Lord, I'm not going to go to church. Lord, I'm not going to teach. Lord, I'm not going to go on visitation. Whatever it is God wants you to do, whatever the calling is, and you say, no, not at this time, that is a willful sin. That is a purpose sin. And that is like slapping Jesus while He's on the cross. When we willfully sin. But notice here, He says, don't let them rule over me. Notice what He said. There's a difference between sinning. Hey, we all sin every day, right? But notice what He says. He says, do not let them rule me. Don't let them have control over me. Don't let them be the authority of my life. You be the authority of my life. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from my blatant rebellion. You see what he is? It's blatant rebellion. He's not sugarcoating it, is he? Verse 14, may the words of my mouth, this one is one that I had to write on a piece of paper because I love this one. I wrote it on a piece of paper and would stick it in my pocket, and that's how I memorize it. Well, how beautiful it is. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, remember, the Lord said over in the New Testament, what's in the heart comes out the mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The other day somebody said something to me, got me hot. Amy was there with me. When that person turned around, I looked over at her and I said, mouth to her, I said, I'm about tired of it. And she just looked at me and she shook her head. And I put my head down and started praying. And you know what? The only thing, and I might have told y'all this, the only thing that kept me from opening my mouth that day is because it wasn't God's will for me to open my mouth that day. Had I, then the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Now, the meditations of my heart at that time were not acceptable in his sight. But praise God, at least all I had to do is confess that and not what came out of my mouth afterward. Amen? But that's a part of growth. That's a part of maturity. That's a part of learning to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in the power of the flesh. And so tonight, what's been the point? The point is that God's glory is there for us to see. Amen? It is there. Like we talked about with, if your prayers have been answered, let us know. Why? Because that is a testimony to God's glory. That is a direct declaration of His power and His faithfulness. And so remember, this is what's going to be my prayer to you. One, I pray that you find joy in reading the Psalms, because they have really kind of kept me out of that pit in the past 2 weeks. You know what I mean? But also I pray that we learn to see all of creation as God's theater. And when we view it as God's theater, then what are we going to do? We're going to look for God to do something awesome in the midst of His theater. Amen? How does it begin? The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Amen and amen, and God bless you. Any thoughts or questions tonight? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sweeter than honey from out of the comb.
He's all that my hungering soul will need. All right, in Jesus' name, I pray you have a blessed week, and thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. I love y'all. We'll see y'all later.